Years ago, my wife came down with a bad case of laryngitis, which to many husbands I know is a wonderful disease when their wife has this. She felt good. She just couldn't talk. She lost her voice for 2 days. So what I tried to do is help her out in communication. And I developed a series of taps. And she could tap and I would know what she was asking for. So one tap meant yes. Two taps meant, David, you're right. Three taps meant, David, let me cook your supper. 95 taps meant, no, I disagree. It was a wonderful way to communicate. Now, we haven't been using taps, but Adam and I have tried to communicate to you what's going on in this unseen war that is raging around us. An unseen war from Satan and his fallen angels against God and his angels fighting on our behalf to keep. Satan wants to steal our happiness. He wants to steal and destroy our homes, our families, our marriages, our relationships with our children. He is doing everything he can to destroy that. And so we've been studying this so we can defend ourselves. We talked about Satan and temptations and how to overcome temptations. We've talked about the armor of God, how when we put it on, we are ready to not only defend ourselves, we're ready to go on the offensive. And we've talked about the power of prayer, how it strengthens our lives and helps us in this battle. So today, we're closing out this study series. And we're going to talk about taking down strongholds in our lives. Now, to do that, we've got to define what a stronghold is. And here's a good definition. A stronghold is a mindset that accepts a situation as unchangeable, even though we know that situation is contrary to the will of God. So all of us, any Christ follower, has these satanic strongholds. We've yielded ground to Satan by giving in to temptation, by giving in to these attitudes that are not a part of God. And we end up saying, well, I can't change the way I am. That's just who I am. And that's my attitude. And those are my actions. And that's the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. But what happens is once Satan gets a foothold, once he gets a stronghold in your life, that's where he's going to continue to wage war and try to make you a casualty and destroy your home and marriages and happiness and all those other things. Strongholds are like fortresses. Once they get built, they're hard to take out. And some strongholds are pretty obvious. Drug and alcohol addiction is a stronghold in which the flesh develops such a strong craving for chemicals that no matter how hard a person tries, he or she just cannot let go. Some people are imprisoned by a stronghold of bad relationships, that we get paralyzed emotionally, that we can't share our feelings, we can't talk back, we can't disagree, we're caught up in it, held a prisoner in our own minds. For some, it could even be parents who have long since died, but whose damaging influence still lives on in sons and daughters and even grandchildren. For other believers, strongholds are not so obvious. They're private fortresses, such as sexual addiction, maybe to pornography. Sinful activities include gossip and lies, which become habitual. Attitudes like anger and pride and bitterness and an unforgiving spirit allow Satan to construct these strongholds in our lives if we are not vigilant. And it's sad. It's unfortunate when Christ followers come to believe that this is the way they're doomed to be for the rest of their lives. And we really can't blame other people or circumstances because they really didn't force us to surrender ground to Satan. Now, they had influence on us. And God will hold them accountable for what they did. But when we give in to temptation, when we give in to sin, we have a personal responsibility for that. And God will hold us accountable. Because strongholds are spiritual problems. But here's what Paul wrote. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. So Paul tells us you can get rid of these. You can take them down. You can stop them from being built. And here's how to do it. And from a biblical perspective, there's four parts to this. And I didn't make these up. These are from Scripture. And they come, how to tear down your strongholds. And the first one says that we must know who we are and where we stand. Who we are children of the King. And where we stand is with Jesus Christ. We've got to know our identity. Colossians 3, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. The solution to dealing with these strongholds is to be found in Jesus Christ. To know who you are, a child of the King, and to be found standing with Jesus. Our Lord already beat Satan, made a public spectacle of him. Therefore, if we're going to beat the evil one in our own daily lives, we need to connect with Jesus, who won the victory on the cross. It just makes sense. You're a child of the King, and your exalted position through your relationship with Jesus Christ gives you spiritual authority over Satan when he attacks you, when he tempts you. You can tell him, hey, you are no longer in my life. You no longer have any rights or jurisdiction over me. In the name of Jesus, get out. You have been given the authority to say that and to mean that. And Satan cannot resist the name of Jesus and the authority that's been given to you by God. When I moved to Florida years ago, I had a guy at church who took me out on a nature walk trail, and it was swampland, and he wanted me to know all about alligators. He said, you're living in Florida now. You got to know about alligators, how to spot them, where to see them, where they might be. You've got to protect yourself. If you like going out on a golf course or just running around, you've got to know where the alligators are. And he pointed to a little body of water. He said, see that water? There's probably an alligator in that. Anytime you see a water in Florida, you just assume there's an alligator there, and you just be careful. And so we're walking along, and I'm asking questions, and finally I ask him, I say, I've heard if you carry a flashlight, an alligator will not attack you. Is that right? He said, depends on how fast you carry the flashlight. I don't care what you hold in your hand, or how fast you walk, or how fast you run. Satan is going to attack you. He wants to take you down. He wants to destroy or at least hinder your relationship with God. He wants to do everything he can to make you miserable. And you have the right to tell him, you have no place in my life. You cannot put me under your authority. You have no rights because I've been set free by Jesus Christ. That simple statement packs power. We just don't think that way. We just don't think in terms of that when we are tempted and when Satan is attacking. Satan doesn't want you to understand the spiritual authority that you have in Jesus Christ. He wants you to forget who you are, a child of the King, because then he knows you will never exercise your royal rights. That you have been given authority over him. That when the enemy brings up your past and tells you you are no good, that you have no future. Look what you did. That God is so ashamed of you. You have the authority to say, Satan, you're a liar. Jesus beat you. He set me free from that, and I stand with him. You don't have to walk around weighted down and burdened by your past. That's already been forgiven. You move forward, and you tell Satan where you stand. So remember who you are and where you stand. That's your identity. Secondly, if you want to deal with these strongholds, you've got to rely on God's grace. You've got to rely on God's grace and remember that it's Him who gives you the power to fight. The Bible says, but God gives us more grace. That is why Scripture says God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. Okay, why do we need more grace? Didn't we get all the grace we need when we accepted Jesus Christ, when we were saved? Well, James isn't talking about salvation. He's talking about fighting these daily battles in your life. He's talking about living your life as a victorious believer. The grace God gives to tear down strongholds is far greater than the power Satan has trying to prop them up. We need more grace. So how do we get it? James tells us, submit yourselves then to God. What does that mean? Well, if you read the first five verses of James 4, he'll tell you what it does not mean. That if you have things in your life that you have not submitted to God, if you have things like sinful pleasure and strife and lust and envy and living like unbelievers, if that is your life, if that marks your life, you haven't submitted to God. Because when you submit to God, you receive more grace to take on Satan every day. And then you go to bed at night and you thank God for that grace. You wake up the next morning and you start all over. God, I need more grace. Because Satan's going to come after me again today. And I'm going to have temptations today to lose my temper. Or to take something that belongs to the company. Or a thousand other things. So God, I'm going to need your grace to overcome these temptations. And I need some for today. See, the problem is it is possible to accept Jesus Christ in people's minds as Savior. So their sins are forgiven, but they don't submit to Him as Lord of their life. They're grateful. They're grateful that Jesus has saved them. They're grateful that there's a place in heaven for them. But then they try to live on their own. And they don't need worship, and they don't need praise, and they don't need fellowship with fellow believers. They don't think they need to grow in the knowledge of the Word. And so they accept Him as Savior, but not as Lord, and they refuse to surrender to Him. Now, sometimes we do this and we don't even know it. We say things, well, I made a commitment to the Lord, and I'm going to stop this habitual sin in my life. It's not supposed to be there. I'm too ashamed of it. I've had it too long. I don't want it anymore. So I'm going to go out and beat this. But many people who make that kind of commitment end up falling right on their face. Because commitment doesn't work unless it's preceded by surrender. Commitment says, I can do this. And surrender says, I can't do it on my own. I need Jesus. I need grace. I need power from on high. I can't do it on my own. Christ's power doesn't kick in until we let go of our delusions of ego and self-sufficiency. That means we surrender to Him. That, God, I can't make it on my own, but through your power, I can tear down these strongholds. You got to help me with this. You invite God to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. And we're too self-sufficient. And that's why we haven't been able to tear down the strongholds that have been in our lives for weeks and months and sometimes years. And it's not that we don't try. We don't set out to let these problems and sins and failures take over our lives, to let Satan build a stronghold. How many times have you promised yourself and promised God, hey, I'm going to stop doing this. I really am. I'm going to stop doing this. And you mean it. God knows you mean it. You just don't have the power to carry through with your intentions because you're trying to do it on your own. You're not tapped into that power. You haven't been in the Word and you haven't been praying. God's got something better than self-effort. God says, come near to God, and He will come near to you. That's what James tells us. We draw near to God when we enter His presence through prayer and through praise and through worship. If the only worship and praise God gets out of you is on Sundays every now and then, you're not drawing near to Him. You're just not. You're just visiting Him occasionally. And that doesn't bother Satan because he's going to work on you the other 6 days of the week. That's how he does it. He doesn't care if you come to church once a week. He likes it when you come once a month or once every 4 months or whatever because he's got you the rest of the time unless you are in the Word, unless you are praying. Growing up, I had so many allergies. Every spring, every fall, I was miserable. Some of you can relate. You know what I'm talking about. I was allergic to everything. Flowers, pollen, dust, cats, school teachers. I had it all. The last one was self-diagnosed, okay? I know that. But fortunately, I've outgrown these childhood allergies, but I still remember the sneezing and the stuffy nose and the inability to breathe. Let me let you in on something. Satan is allergic to prayer. When the air is filled with prayer and praise, it chokes him up. Makes it hard for him to function. He can't hang around because the environment is too uncomfortable for him. Satan can't handle it when you draw near to God because God draws near to you. But I'm telling you, it's got to be more than one day a week or you're the one who's going to be miserable. Satan will see to that. So we know who we are. We know our identity. We rely on God's grace. But to tear down that stronghold, we also have to repent. And repent is more than just saying, well, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I let this in my life. I'm sorry this is here. That's not repentance. Repentance means you do the 180 and you turn your back on the sin and you walk away from it. It has no place in your life. And you make the commitment, that stronghold, that habitual sin, that's out of here. I am not going to deal with this anymore. James writes in the 4th chapter, and this is a paraphrase, quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field, hit bottom, and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious. Really serious. And we're talking about God in your life and battling the temptation and saying no to Satan. We need to grow humble and realize, I can't do it on my own. I gotta have God's help. And quit thinking about ourselves. Why do you think God has nothing to do with proud people? Read the scriptures. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. God does not like pride. I think it's because pride reminds him of Satan. That when we're proud, we remind him of Lucifer who tried to take over his kingdom because of his pride. We remind him of Lucifer who came down to earth and led our ancestors, Adam and Eve, into the first sin. That put Jesus Christ on the cross. He does not like pride. Pride and humility don't mix. We've got to come to God humbly and say, I can't do this. I can't do it on my own. It's got to be you. You've just got to give me more grace. You've got to help me through this. I rely on you totally, fully, completely. And finally, we resist the devil. Running out of time, but I just want to share this with you. Resist the devil, James says, and he will flee from you. You say no. You say get out of my life. You say you have no authority over me. You say I'm not going to give in to that temptation. I'm going to stay close to God. God's going to stay close to me. You remind the devil of your identity. Hey, I'm a child of the King. I don't need you. I don't want you. You want to destroy everything that's good about my life. It's not going to happen. You resist the devil, he will flee from you. Now he's going to come back. And you resist him again. And he'll keep coming back. And you resist him every time because you are a child of the King. You have authority. The authority given to you by God. The key is how you focus and what you focus on during that temptation. I was attending a conference in St. Louis some time ago, and I had the afternoon free, so I went to see their world-famous zoo. And I found myself in a glass enclosure right in the middle of the gorilla habitat, which was a really cool, the architecture. You came up out of a tunnel, and there you were in the middle of their field. And we were standing there, a group of us, and we were looking at an 800-pound gorilla who was 10, 15 feet away. We were watching him, and he was watching us. And suddenly, he hops up, he runs toward the glass enclosure. His fists are up in the air, and with a loud growl, he hits the glass as hard as he could, and then sort of walks away. I think I heard him laughing. Because all of us were shook up. It caught us all. Women, children screaming. They're running down the exit tunnel. And being the brave man that I am, I felt it was my duty to lead them to safety. I want you to know, some of them were so ungrateful. Like the grandma and the two small children I pushed out of the way so I could save them. But as we all got down to the bottom of the tunnel and we all stood there and laughed because there was no glass breaking and there was nothing chasing us. And it was like, okay, we're childish. And so we walked back up to the glass enclosure. And there's a little boy who was still scared. And his dad was holding him and he still had some tears. And the dad walked over and said, listen, the gorilla can't hurt you because of the glass. Touch the glass. And the little boy touched the glass. He said, see, it's too strong. It will not break. So if he comes back while we're up here, don't look at him. Touch the glass. Focus on the glass and you're going to be all right. See, when the temptation comes to our life, when Satan attacks, we don't focus on him. And we definitely don't focus on the temptation because it is very enticing. He makes it that way. What we focus on is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the one who will carry us to safety. Jesus is the one who will protect us. It's all about him. You focus on him. If you focus on anything else, you're going to fail. You focus on Jesus. And we do this as individuals, and we've got to do it as a family. We are family. And Satan loves to attack church families. He loves to attack churches. I've been doing this for 40 years. I know when I see Satan attack. And we are under attack. And we have been for some time. And we've got to be together, united against those attacks. When you came in, you received a sticker. If you'd pull that out right now. And if you didn't get one, we still have extras available. Here's what I want you to do. Because we're going to fight this attack right now. We're going to do this right now. Hold on to that, and I want you to watch a video clip. If you recall, if you were here the first week we started this, we took the name of a Netflix drama called Spiritual Things. And, Stranger Things, excuse me, we turned it into Spiritual Things. And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, but there's these kids who become aware of another dimension where an evil being resides. It's an unseen dimension. And they're the only ones who know about it, and they're the only ones who are going to fight it. Only problem is they're fighting with each other. They're spending more time fighting with each other, accusing each other of betrayal and lies and being a traitor, and there's no way they can win until they realize they have to come together. And that's what happens in this scene. It's when they came together, could they fight together and battle the evil entity that they could not see. This right here is going to be a key for us right now. As individuals and as a church, we come together to fight the enemy right now. The enemy that attacks our family here and the enemy that attacks us as individuals. I'm going to ask you that you take this sticker, and there are pins in the pews or you've got your own. I want you to right now write down the biggest battle that you're facing, whatever it is. Maybe it's an attitude that you have. Maybe you've got a quick temper. Maybe there's something going on in your life and you've been trying to push it back for a long time. Don't write your name on this. Don't want your name on this. I want you to write down the battle that you're up against. And as you do so, I want you to know you, what you're doing is you're saying, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim victory. Not in our own name, in your name. In the name of Jesus Christ, I claim victory over this stronghold in my life, over this temptation that Satan is battering me with. No one will see it. Your name's not going to be on it. Just want you to write that down. Hold on to it. And then I'm going to pray for you in a minute, and I'm going to dismiss you. And I would like for you to take whatever you wrote, this sticker, and drop it in the two buckets on the stage, or there's two buckets on the sound booth. Drop it in. Put whatever you wrote on face down. Just drop it in there. No one's going to know it's you. But when you do this, when you do this action, what you're saying is, I'm claiming victory over my life. And this one habitual sin, this one hidden sin, this one attack, this stronghold, whatever it is in your life, you're giving that to Jesus and you're claiming in His power and His name, it's coming down. This is your time to claim the victory for you, for your family, for your marriage, for your kids, for our church. Claim the victory now. Walk out of here with the resolve that He's not going to win. The enemy will not win in my life. I have authority over him through Jesus Christ, and I claim the victory. So I'm going to pray for you. I'll dismiss you. And then you can drop your stickers in the bucket, and you're welcome to leave or stay here for just the information meeting. If you're a first-time guest, you're welcome to stay and hear what we're doing. Or I'd love to meet you right outside this door or the back door. It's on this side. It's a meet and greet area. That's where I go. I'd love for you to come by and just let me introduce myself to you. Let me pray for you as you hold the sticker. Father, I battle Satan every day that I live. And you can say the same prayer in your heart right now. You can repeat what I say in your heart. We battle Satan every day. And he has beaten us down for too long. We feel guilt. We feel shame. That we have let this go on for so long. And right now, we claim the victory over this stronghold that Satan has in this area of our life. And you confess to God in your own heart what that area is. He knows it, but he wants you to know it. He wants you to say it to him. You can do that in your heart and in your mind right now. Let him know that you recognize this area. And then you pray, Father, I can't beat Satan on my own. I need you. I stand with you against my enemy. And right now I claim the victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. You have a great week.